This is the place where sports opinions collide, dead in sports. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. For those of you that are watching or that have watched the videos, we told you guys we were bringing the videos, and we're starting to roll those out. They're only going to get better, but this is just phase one, and we appreciate all the feedback. This week is slightly different from those of you that listen to the show. We're joined with two special guests here. You guys want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah. It's Nick. You might know me from No Disrespect as Nicky Duce, but yeah. From Cincinnati, trying to rep the city.
How y'all doing? It's Swaff in the building. Just got into the city as well. From No Disrespect. Fuck with us on the Twitter, Instagram, at NDR513.
Cool, and we have all that stuff in the description for you guys to check them out. So, yeah, they're joining us this week to talk a little football and a whole lot of basketball. So a lot of sports opinions colliding in this particular episode. So it's definitely something I think you guys enjoy. So anyway, we're just going to go ahead and just jump right into it.
I know you got to talk about my boy.
Jalen?
Nah.
Ooh.
The Freak.
Greek Freak?
Nah, not that
Zion.
Yeah.
Zion. Oh, yeah.
You talking about Duke?
Dang.
Zion Williamson.
He got to lose some weight.
No, he don't.
He got to lose some weight.
I say about 10 pounds.
Lose about 10.
I won't even say 10. That's not. He need to lose like 20 pounds.
No, no, no.
He's light on his feet.
Is he out of shape?
No. He's pretty lean. He's lean. He's lean. To be 280, he's lean. I say lose about 10 pounds.
I'm not saying he's not great or good. I'm saying to be NBA, like NBA no. up and down, that track meet.
He's already up and down.
Baby was up and down.
It's college. He's playing. Duke does not play high-level competition every single game. So he's going to win off his talents alone. I'm just saying
Duke,
for NBA, because we already know he's going to be a top-five pick. I'm just saying for him to get.
He get about 265, 270.
He got to get his body right.
That's good. That's good. 280 is
he got that. He got that little, you know, he got
he
that.
He got none of that. Look, you see this? I got that. And I'm 2-something. He ain't got none of that. Look,
lean to be 280. He's definitely lean to be 280.
I just think that, you know, some players.
270, just like 265, football. I think.
Like sometimes you got guys that weigh 300-some pounds, ain't got no gut. And they athletic as hell. 300-some running 4-5-40s out here
in
the NFL.
I see a gut. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you want to say 10, to, I say 20, but if you want to say 10,
say
he got to get.
I say 10
He got to slim down. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I think it may look like a gut, but I don't think it's a gut.
If anything, he got baby fat. He big baby too.
He carrying that baby fat from the free throw line.
Look like LeBron, man. What you talking about? Like physically, I don't think I've ever seen.
He's just not as tall though. He like what, 6'7"?
6'7". He's 2 inches shorter.
Okay. Yeah, I want to see. I want to see. I mean, even though I don't like, I can't. Stand
I don't know.
Duke.
Is that? I mean, Duke.
Yeah, I can't. Stand
I think Duke
either.
Might be the runaway as far as like.
They're
yeah,
because
they got like, another. They got another guy too, don't they?
RJ Barrett.
Another? They got like. I think in this class,
got four out of the top, like 10 or 15, AP All American,
yes,
high school,
dude.
Whatever.
Like they got crazy, like the, they got like the 2, 4, 8, and like the 12. Like it's insane. Like they got the number one rated point guard that's coming in. Like Duke is like unfair right now, man. Like I can't stand Duke.
And watch they don't win.
I love
it.
It usually be like that because I remember that.
College,
remember that
Kentucky squad,
that Kentucky
John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins,
they lost
Eric Bledsoe.
They lost to Bob Huggins. Yeah.
Man,
Huggins. They lost off of some three pointers.
Yep, because West Virginia was just like hitting everything.
They shot 16.
What was crazy?
They shot 16.
The next game, West Virginia was broke as heck because you know in college all it is
it's
one
about,
game.
Yeah, it's all
it's just
about
one game.
And I was like, bro, they had John Wall, Boogie Cousins, Eric Bledsoe.
It was like they were men playing against boys. That I was like, man, if Kentucky don't win this squad, like win this, I'm like, wow, yeah, that was crazy. Kentucky didn't win, and then Anthony Davis and them came and won the following
year. Yeah.
I was like, damn, because that's when Calipari was just getting them. Like just every year, he was just
that was his Duke of this year. Like this
that,
year, that
man,
was his
for like 5 years.
Shirt. But all I know, you can't have forearms like that and have
no,
a gun.
I'm not saying
I don't know how that happens.
I'm not saying he's not like an
now
imposing
you,
guy.
No, you say he got a gut.
I think he got a little belly.
Nah, man. He ain't Carmelo.
All right. First of all, Melo Slimmers.
Yeah, that's the only one I can find.
Let me see.
It ain't no gut there, bro. That's some abs. Melo ain't got no abs. Never had no abs.
I guarantee you he ain't like 2% body fat. Like, I know that's he still got some chubbiness.
I don't know. The way he can jump up, because I think the way he can lift up, man. That,
they talking about 45-inch vertical, bro.
That's crazy.
Come on, man.
That's crazy.
Come on, man.
That yeah, dude, He's light on his feet.
No, he might be number one.
I think
at least top three.
As of right now.
We got to
right.
see how the season play out.
Of course,
out,
how yeah. the season play out. But right now, if I had to pick, he by far the number one pick. By far. It ain't even close. I'm sorry. We had to talk about
Nah, yeah, this dude jumping off from the – legit jumping from the free throw line.
Yeah, that was his video? Yeah. I seen that. Yeah. I was like, man.
Like, I watched it like two or three. I'm like, this – like, that's –
Yeah, I just want to
see the body fat.
I just want to see how he's gonna do against belly. Like other ACC competition and stuff. Like once they get into the thicker things, are they?
I know this our college. This our college expert right here.
You talk about thicker things, man. Ain't nobody know 280 in college basketball.
No, I'm just saying, but you know, I just want to see how like teams of course, coach of course, against him and of stuff course. Like that.
And I don't know if you've seen some of the like this man getting grown man rebounds, bro. Like
tomorrow he just
jumping on everybody, moving them out the way in the air, bro. It's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, man.
It's gonna be a problem.
Nah, he yeah.
Man, we got to talk about Jalen. The people want to know. Mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey. You heard what he said, right? Y'all saw that?
Yeah, when he was named.
Yeah, when he went.
Quarterbacks.
Yeah. What you, he right?
Yeah, I think so.
For the most part.
For the most part, yeah, what he was saying. I mean, at first, you remember I texted, I was like, I'm like, damn, he dogging all the white QBs. But then I saw he had gave Carson Wentz some props,
The only one that he was reaching on, because he was spitting that fire.
Truth. Yeah,
he's
spitting
that
truth.
It was Big Ben. I think he was like, because he was saying that he's over. I think it was because that one game they played, he had like, that was Ben, like, he threw like five interceptions.
Yeah, he was
horrible that game.
And that's how Ben plays. He's a gunslinger. And I think that at where Ben is now, I think that's fair criticism. Young Ben? Hell no. No, he's a Hall of Famer. But this Ben Roethlisberger, yeah, he's sloppier. He's not as nice as he once was.
I don't know.
I think you're
looking at it as the totality of
totality,
Ben's
and even
of course,
even now he's still slinging that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I feel you, but is he not closer to the middle of the pack than the top of the pack?
Yeah, no.
I was gonna say like, and Ramsey's young, ain't he? How many years?
He's like third. He's like 2-3 years.
So this is the Ben he's seen.
Exactly. Yeah. He don't know. You know, what was that against Arizona?
Santonio Holmes.
I was gonna say it might be because he came at eight. Remember that AJ Green when he was fighting him. And then he was like, oh, yeah, you old, you washed up. I'm like, AJ Green has only been in like the league for like 6 years.
Right, yeah.
I love Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, Ramsey
man.
Is just like going
dude.
At it, man.
And they need more guys like him because.
In the league, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the cornerback from Seattle that's with Sam
Sherman?
Oh, Sherman, yeah.
He's they need Sherman more guys like him, man. That's vocal, that's going to call players out because all it did was we were like, okay, I can't wait to see you play against him. You know, the modern-day primetime, the modern-day Deion Sanders, that's exactly what
now,
it is.
I won't back go and call him that just yet. You
just talking about trash talking.
Yeah, trash talking.
And then having to back it up, right? Mm-hmm. Because it just makes the season more interesting. We're looking
he
at,
starts
that,
off
at
with,
that matchup like, okay, you going to back it up or you going to get burnt for like 200 yards?
He starts off with the Giants, so he going to see, because he said Eli only good with Odell.
Yeah. That's the truth.
Was Revis a trash talker like that?
Not like that. But Sherman.
Because I remember Revis had,
Revis just talked about, he like, it's an island.
Revis had like 3 good years where he was locking. Like, they called it Revis Island for a reason. And he was always quiet.
They went to back-to-back
championship. Yeah.
The
it was Bart
only
Scott
quarterback
and all
right now that I would say that talks that level of mess is Aqib Talib. Like, on the field. Maybe not, like, that.
Yeah, but he's a thug, though.
All right, he ripping chains off.
Yeah, he's trying to whoop your
ass. Is he shutting down, though? Is he shutting down now?
Talib was nice, though. Yeah. To your point, yeah, he will get in your face. Mm-hmm. He will get in your face.
Well, like, was he shutting receivers
and
down?
And he'll shut you down. Okay. Yeah.
See, like, Josh
I know
Norman,
Revis was.
Josh Norman talks a lot, but he get burnt too much to be talking.
Josh Norman is not a man. Like, he cannot.
Nah,
he's
not
a zone
coverage
guy. He's a
zone.
Yeah. You give him an area, he'll got you.
But let's talk about the other quarterbacks on that list. Like, do y'all feel Matt Ryan is overrated? I think a little bit.
Overrated against, like.
I just think that he's a byproduct of the system and the coach. Versus just him being having individual greatness.
You're like talking about with him and Kyle Shanahan, you thought that was the best you ever gonna see of Matt Ryan?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Matt Ryan can't do, you know, great again because he did great before Shanahan, but I think that the pinnacle Matt Ryan was with Kyle Shanahan. Because like if you look at Julio Jones, that man great by himself. It don't matter where you put him. Matt Ryan, I don't know if I can say the same. Now, Matt Ryan doesn't have a Hall of Fame career. You look at the numbers. Every year, 4,000-plus yards. Yeah. Every year, 15-plus touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? And his touchdown-interception ratio later on in his career isn't, you know what I'm saying, that high. And me and my boy was actually going back and forth because he's a big everything Atlanta fan. He was like, oh, we got to get rid of Matt Ryan. I said, bro, we looked at Tom Brady's numbers and Matt Ryan's numbers. And Matt Ryan is on the level numbers wise, statistically, as Tom Brady. Obviously, not the MVPs and the
Super Bowl. He don't have the
Colts. He don't have all of that. He don't have all.
He could have had an MVP. He could have had a Super Bowl and MVP in the same year if he would just random.
We're not even bringing that up.
Just because Matt Ryan doesn't do the like get out the pocket shenanigans that Aaron Rodgers and Big Ben might do, I think he's so consistent that you can't say it. Consistency is not overrated. Like what you if you perform in and out. Like you said, season after season, I think putting up big numbers, you can't be considered overrated at that point.
They're more focused on, like, you always talk about, like, you make yourself in the playoffs and stuff like that. Yeah, I think it's more like that because, like, that conversation is different. Because you could say, like, with Eli, he does, like, regular season, you don't even look at that shit. But in the playoffs, you know, you scared
him twice.
You scared that man when the playoffs hit. So I think that's where I think Jalen is, like, when it comes to game time, like, he might be overrated.
And he's had
because Matt Ryan, he's shrunk in postseason.
He shrunk against Eli. And that was when he had a good season, too. And he also shrunk, obviously,
I remember
Super
San Fran. I remember he shrunk last year.
As a quarterback, you got to win when it matters, especially when it's on your shoulders, right? Like that Super Bowl, they should have won. They still had, you know what I'm saying, an opportunity to go down and score one more time to put the game out of control. It doesn't matter what New England did and whatever comeback that they were trying
to
have.
They just needed a field goal.
That's all they needed.
All they needed.
You know what I'm saying? Matt Ryan got to come through on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you get paid the big bucks for, right? Like, I know you mentioned Aaron Rodgers running out the pocket. I'm not looking at that. That's just another thing that he can do. But when he does that, they win the game. What was that game where he threw two Hail Marys? And got
Detroit,
both of them.
I think he got Detroit like that.
Two Hail Marys in a game, right? Like, and then what did he do against Dallas when he was running to his left and he threw a pass to his right? That's what makes him great, because when it comes down to it and you need plays, he's going to put you in position to win. Just like Tom Brady. Tom Brady always got to score the touchdown, but he's going to get you close enough to get that field goal to win the game. And that's what quarterbacks should be judged upon in terms of overall greatness.
Yep.
So y'all agree then with the?
Yeah, I think he's a bit overrated, and I like Matt Ryan. I think he's a bit
overrated. Doesn't necessarily mean you saying he's whack or something like that, but
he's saying he's whack. That's what I'm saying. In his words, he's saying he's.
I don't
whack.
Think that's what he's saying. He was saying. I don't think Raylan's saying
when he trash talking everybody and their mama. He's saying he was garbage.
Hey, come on, Kay. He's a young cat now. Come on now, you know.
Ain't no respect behind that.
Saying overrated is saying that Matt Ryan sucked though, or isn't
good. When you've ever,
because he was very very clear.
Yeah.
On the guys that was trash or suck. Yeah. He was very, very clear.
Yeah, but he was on a roll. It was a rant. Like, he was like, this name and cute.
Yeah, but if he wanted to say Matt Ryan wasn't good, he would have said it.
Yeah, and he don't suck. He's just, I think he's a byproduct of the system and everybody that they got around him.
Like,
what other quarterbacks did he
said, met? Yeah, he called Dak all right. He said, of course, Brady Rodgers don't suck. He said Tyrod Taylor's underrated.
Like, I agree.
So if he wanted to call, perfect example, golf, average to above average. If he wanted to say Matt Ryan wasn't good, he could have easily said that. Mm-hmm. He just said he was overrated.
Did he say something about luck too?
Not good.
Luck is not good?
He said luck wasn't good.
I don't see how you can say that.
Yeah. He hasn't been in the league for 2 years. He throws a lot of
interceptions. And he plays in the same division as him. So
you know,
that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, they'll see each other.
Well, I mean, Luck ain't going
to
do that this year.
The only quarterbacks he gave props to was Watson and Wentz.
You say Luck not – we think Luck ready?
Luck is 100% ready.
He better be ready.
Come on.
It's Jordan after baseball.
I've been saying this since the Peyton Manning years, bro. What the hell else is on that roster? They got T.Y. Hilton and what else? No O-line, no run game, no defense, no nothing. So they put that whole franchise on
They just drafted a lineman. Quentin Nelson looks good, though.
Okay, one guy, though.
I understand. I'm just saying. They're trying now.
Because Luck got ate up last night.
Because they realize that to be honest, they have wasted his prime years.
They have.
They have wasted
it. Is Pagano still the coach?
Nah.
No, he got let go.
Who they got now?
It's, because remember, it was supposed to be Josh McDaniels, but then he backed out. They got somebody else. I forgot his name.
Man, I'm going to tell you
where's Frank Reich?
I'm going to tell you where the Colts messed up. Remember the year Pagano had cancer?
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians took over?
Yep.
They should have let Bruce Arians, Pagano go. And just
but they couldn't, Arians they couldn't do that.
Yeah, they could have.
No, they couldn't.
I know I did, but
you say that now, 2020.
I know. Hey, revision is history. But now looking back, because the NFL is a cold game.
It is.
And
he's going through cancer. Like, that is one thing. They have breast cancer awareness month. They can't let go of a coach because he has cancer. Hey,
but you know what? Look, this guy, he's better for our team than you are. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to go in a different direction. It's professional.
If they
it's
at least pay for his treatments for the rest of that year.
You know, coaches get guaranteed. Like, if they get cut or fired, the rest of their salary is guaranteed. So, hey, you got your money.
I just think the PR blowback would have been horrible.
I understand. But what was your whole saying when we were talking about basketball? Winning cure everything, right? And Andrew Luck was slinging that thing with Bruce Arians.
For him, it's going to be like, can it cure cancer? That's what it's going to be.
It might have, because he would have been high. It's like he is now.
Yeah, plus we saw what Arians went to Arizona and did.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's 20. We don't know. Well, I agree, though. I think the Colts are horrible. I think they're the one organization that don't get talked about as being horrible. Everybody talk about Buffalo.
They're starting to get flat. Like, they're talking about the GM or whoever's on the place being on pills and shit like that.
Oh, Ursa?
Yeah. So they're starting to because they're looking at what they did with Andrew Luck, and they were like, yo, what are y'all doing?
You potentially have a top three quarterback. I think he's top five, top seven, you know, just the way he's performed.
I think he's just like he's a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback. That's what I would say.
I think he could be that, but they've never nurtured that out of him. Like they haven't given him the line or the weapons or the defense. Like,
I'm saying he's once in a lifetime because look at what he did. Like, his first three years, he took he won at least 10 games with that team that you said. Like,
Can you imagine him in Denver? We're talking Super Bowls. We're talking multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah. Shout out to
him in Jacksonville. You put him in
Jacksonville. Get him one weapon and a decent defense and see what happens.
Give him a running back at least. They ain't got nothing.
Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Should he sit?
He should never been drafted by the Ravens.
What? Why?
That's the worst team he could have went to.
Why?
Because they are not equipped to bring out his best. We talk about best of abilities and getting drafted by the right team. They're not a team that's equipped for that. I think the only reason why they drafted him was because to give Flacco, like, put that battery in his
back. Well, no.
Flacco's trash. Flacco's gone after this year.
I mean, he won a Super Bowl, so.
Here's the thing. I agree with you that, you know, that Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens aren't necessarily on the same page right now in terms of bringing out Lamar's best qualities and nurturing his talent. But, however, you do have a serviceable quarterback, right? And Lamar Jackson is going to need time to learn how to read defenses. So this is a perfect situation for him to sit now. Because it doesn't matter where he went, he's not going to be ready to throw the ball at an NFL level.
I understand that. But from what I'm seeing in preseason and the conversation that have been going on all these sports shows is that they wanted to use him different than a quarterback. So, like, it's one thing to draft a quarterback and say, okay, you're going to be behind this guy. We're going to give you time to learn the playbook and all that. But they want him to be in the, like, play different slots. They want him and Flacco to be on the field. They want him and Flacco to be on the same field at the same time. So they don't look. That's why he didn't run the 40, because he's like, I don't want to be that. I want to be a quarterback.
They drafted him as a quarterback, but they're putting in offensive packages to use him this year. They used to do the same thing with Cordell Stewart back in the day.
I just think that Baltimore – I think they're going
to
waste him.
Flacco plays always better when his back's against the wall. Last time, he was on a contract year.
That was when he won the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah,
He ran through Denver.
I think you're right. They're just trying to put the batter in his bag, be like, look, we got somebody for your spot if you ain't going to step up.
Flacco is done in Baltimore.
I don't care for Flacco. I mean, I'm a Bengals fan. So I don't care for none of them boys.
He's done in Baltimore.
But is he done this year?
No, not this year.
So how many
is Lamar going to get a start?
This is last year.
No, he's got two years left.
Mm-hmm.
He got 2 years left on his contract.
I think he's got two years left if they start going down?
Yeah. On his contract.
No, in Baltimore. Just overall.
I think his contract ends this year, right?
Does it? I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. But I'm in agreement where this year, no matter what happened, because look, Flacco going to win at least 5-6 games. Like, let's just be honest, right? Like,
he got the Browns and he got the Bengals.
0-16. That's not what's going to happen. So regardless of whatever happens, he's going to be the starting quarterback. The only way Lamar starts is maybe week 15 and 16, like last 2-3 weeks, if that.
If they go 0-5,
yeah,
they ain't putting Lamar in.
They put Lamar in. If they start off 0-5, 0-6,
I think they can go 0-7 and still not start Lamar.
Really?
Because I think that's how far. I think Lamar, talent wise, is up. He might be the next Mike Vick if you develop him right.
Nope.
I think so. That's my personal opinion.
You say if you develop him right.
Yeah, because he's a better thrower than Mike at his age, at the time that he got drafted.
In what sense?
In sense as a pocket passer.
Nah.
Because when was Mike didn't come into the league as a pocket passer.
No, he didn't. But neither is Lamar. And the reason why I disagree with anybody saying Lamar Jackson is the next Mike Vick, pull us some Mike Vick highlights. Mike Vick turned the corner
on everybody. Vick, man.
Lamar Jackson cannot turn the corner against
these
defenders.
I'm not saying he will be Mike Vick. I'm saying he's like in that style.
In that mold, yeah, yes. That mold. But Russell Wilson is in that mold. You know what I'm saying? Like he Aaron Rodgers is in Tony Romo. When you can get out of the pocket. Yeah, when you can get out of the
pocket. No, I'm talking about like crazy athletic. I ain't talking about just because you can run around.
But that's what I'm saying. Mike Vick is in a league of his own.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody.
We still don't know his 40. Lamar Jackson.
It don't matter.
We don't know if he could be just as quick as he was.
But he ain't doing what Mike Vick was doing though. And I don't think physically running, he can do what Mike Vick did. I think Mike Vick is a one-only player. We're never going to see that at the quarterback position. Now, you talking about pure athletic ability? Yes. We'll see that in the NFL multiple times over. But at the quarterback, not. Nah. And Lamar's not close to it.
I just think that Lamar needs a lot of, like, NFL. He needs a lot of NFL experience before we can say, like, all right, this is a finished product.
Yeah.
And like people always say, like, Brady sat behind Aaron Rodgers. Like, the two best quarterbacks in the league have sat their first two seasons at least. So I think that's why you get Flacco. You let Flacco play it out, and then you start Lamar down the line. Like, let him get the reps.
They'll be fools to put Lamar Jackson out there.
Yep. Because you know what? Not only are they not going to win, they might hurt that boy.
Yeah. Because he's doing the same thing RG3 did. Mm-hmm. Boy, won't get down. Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck won't get down.
Andrew Luck showed that again. That's why I don't understand. He just got off of a season-long injury, and he's still holding on to that ball.
You
like,
know who used
like
to get
it's
down?
A baby.
Peyton Manning. Yep. You know who else get down? Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers.
Even Rare, I'm going to say Rodgers should get down, too.
And Russell.
Yeah, Russell. Russell would get sit his ass down
Dak,
for real
Dak
quick.
Even came in the league. He slid first. That's why everybody knew he was going to be a good because he knew how to get down.
Yep. So, yeah, that matters. Better get your ass down. But, nah, he needs to sit. I'm disappointed in his preseason. I wanted and expected more out of him.
Which one?
Lamar Jackson. Yeah. I really did, man. But – you know,
you just want the black quarterbacks to all start.
I do. I love Lamar Jackson.
I'll give you Tyrod Taylor as far as like not nah, like
you
Baker.
You know who I think Lamar Jackson is in the mold of? Vince Young. I think he can be a better Vince Young. And Vince Young was a damn hell of a
If
player.
Vince Young had a coach that actually believed in him, he could have been.
I didn't realize how bad Jeff Fisher
was. I didn't know.
Jeff Fisher either. Is ass catching. Like he is horrible.
Because he had a lot of success, right? Like Steve McNair. Like, let's be honest. Would we have known Steve McNair and Eddie George if it wasn't for Jeff Fisher and Frank Wycheck? You're saying that whole squad?
I did because Steve McNair was from around the way. He went to HBCU, Alcorn, I believe.
Yeah, Alcorn State. Yeah. But did you think he was going to be that in the NFL?
Nah, so,
and I think like Jeff that. Fisher had a hand in molding that Tennessee Titan team or Houston Oilers, either one. But I didn't realize how bad he was until he took over the LA Rams. Because I told y'all Jared Goff was going to be a guy. And
I
when
don't
I saw
him,
him okay,
ahead.
That's cool. But when I saw him under Jeff Fisher, I'm like, this is not what
my
I saw.
Thing, my thing is all NFL head coaches have a shelf life. As much as they try to that's why some people are skeptical of John Gruden. I think that with Jeff Fisher, it's the same thing, kind of like how Mike Shanahan had his heyday in Denver, and then everywhere else he's been to, it hasn't been the same spark. I think it's Jeff Fisher was the same, just like how you mentioned with McNair and all that. I think after he left that whole era and when he went to Tennessee and then the St. Louis to L.A. Rams.
You know what I hear? And with this newfound information about how bad Jeff Fisher is, he ruined Vince Young.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said, like, if there was an actual coach that believed in Vince Young and that wanted him to succeed, because I think he really wanted to sabotage Vince Young, and he did successfully did that.
I think
Vince Young was spot on about some of the things that he was saying at that time. So yeah, and it's unfortunate because I was a big Vince Young fan too. And Jeff Fisher didn't give that brother a chance.
Wait, hold on. But since we talking about football, I brought this up earlier. So are we, as black people, we watching football? I thought it was canceled.
I put my time in last year.
I'm playing fantasy football.
Yeah, I'm playing fantasy football.
That's what I'm sitting on.
Fantasy
football. I'm still watching.
You said you was in it this year. We in the same league.
Nah. And they took away my keepers? Nah.
I tried watching preseason. It didn't feel right. Like, The games weren't fun. The rule change is going to bother me. I'm going to try. I sat out last year. I may watch a little bit, but I'm not rushing to watch football. And if I miss,
like, put it to you like this: like, if I'm out with them or something, we at the bar and the game is on, then I watch it. But I'm not like going to be like, all right, Sunday.
Yeah,
I'm chilling. I'm doing nothing but just laundry and watching football. Like that. I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
but I used to be though.
Yeah, yeah. I used to be like that way. But
my thing, I guess I think I can compartmentalize and separate things because in my mind, I think you mentioned this on a other podcast, where it's like the NFL at this point in time, protesting and all that, it's not really doing much because now it's all about the action. Like the NFL gave money to these organizations and stuff like that, so they kind of did their part. So they gave money nonetheless. It depends on how people use it. That's my main concern, because the whole point was to bring awareness, and they did, and now it's about the action. So as long as I don't like the fact that some owners are still saying, like, we're still going to find players and do all that, I still disagree with that, and it shows what those owners really think about black people. But there's other owners in the league that have said they're going to support, especially from, like, New York and San Francisco. Well, not San Francisco, but it was some other West Coast team. But
which are typically liberal.
My thing is, just like, at this point, what do you expect the NFL to do for – because they already do employ a lot of black people. They make a lot of black millionaires.
Who cares about that?
Whoa, how many black owners are there in the NFL?
There's not any of them, if I know of.
So that's a problem. How many black GMs are there?
Lewis Riddick can't get a job.
Nope. Ozzie Newsom's been the only black one for a while now. So my thing is...
How many
is
black coaches?
Not many.
There's a lot... I mean, in the AFC North, there's nothing but black coaches. Except for Baltimore.
And they keep trying to fire them.
They ain't firing Marvin. I've been waiting for them to fire Marvin.
Thank God. But they're trying to fire Tomlin. He wins every year.
Yep. So I don't know, man. Like, for me, the NFL...
If you want to be honest, we can say the same thing about basketball, too. How many black coaches? There's more black coaches in the NFL than in the NBA.
And that's a problem, too.
There's only one black owner in the NBA, and that's literally the greatest basketball player ever. So it's just –
But I think there'll be two. There'll be two.
In the NBA, they already had a rule where you have to stand for the flag no matter what. Otherwise, you do get fined before the NFL did what they did.
But it's on both sides. But the NBA supports – change. The NBA supports the players' right to voice their opinion. Just because the players didn't kneel or do anything like that, they still had t-shirts with their message on it. They still talk about it before game, after game, during game. Like, and the NBA supports that. The NBA ain't talking about, here, take this hush money. The NBA is already in communities, and they support LeBron James and CP and all of the outspoken NBA players in terms of these, you know, what I can't remember the names. You know, I'm bad with names, but I Can't Breathe. Who's the person?
Is that
Eric Garner.
Eric Garner. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The NBA, the commissioner, Adam Silver, was talking about it.
Mm-hmm. How many times? Supported them.
And he supported it. How many times we see Roger Goodell talk about any of this stuff? He doesn't. So the NBA canceled the All-Star Game in Charlotte because of a law.
Yeah, because of the bathroom. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the NBA is on top of this stuff, and they're more progressive than the NFL.
I agree with all the points you made. I'm just saying, as far as representation and all that, as far as decision making, it's the same on both sides. My main point is that I'm not canceling football because I just feel like now the conversation has to go into more of action. It's not about awareness because we're all aware now. Because they talk about it every day now.
But I kind of disagree because it's also about support. Because at the end of the day, the NBA and the NFL are platforms, right? And I'm my own business entity, right? I am contracted. So that means I'm my own business. Even though I'm contracted to play for your organization, I'm my own business. And especially if I'm your star player, you should be siding with me. Because the players aren't trying to shed light on just any, you know, random Tom, Dick, and Harry type of... We're talking about major social issues. And I think that the fact that the NFL continues to show their hand in the way that they do, for the people that want to boycott, go ahead. For the people that want to watch, go ahead. And I understand your stance, too, because it is more so about action. But let's look at the actions that these decision makers in the NFL are taking.
And I'm saying that... I agree. I think you're seeing the which teams are against it and which teams are for. Like you mentioned, it's the more liberals that are liberal teams in New York exactly. and all those liberal
but,
areas.
But they should have a unified front because it's all about protecting the shield. It's about the shield. So if this team and this team and this team and all of these other teams feel a certain type of way, the NFL, Roger Goodell, needs to come out and say, we stand unified in this. However, we don't support anthem protests through kneeling if the players want to do X, Y, Z. You know what I'm saying? I get that. But the NFL has not supported the movement at all. And that's my problem. If they say, just like the NBA, hey, we have a policy where you have to stand, but we support the movement and you protesting in other actions, cool, bet, get it. Thank you for having my back.
Okay.
But the NFL hasn't done that as a united front. That's my problem.
They've actually done the opposite. And that's the problem with the NFL.
Because they're not united at all, even with amongst other decisions.
They're united.
Well, not necessarily because the NFL said that every team could come up with their own policy for the anthem.
But the overall policy is we're anti-protesting the anthem.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's just like the United States, you know, and what they're saying, they're basically giving these teams state rights.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still going to regulate it whenever you start to cross state lines.
Yep.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden we have authority to come in and make the final decision. But for me, man, like I applaud T.I. for doing what he's doing. I hope he sticks with it. We need to see more people doing that and protesting the NFL. You know, if that's their choice, you know, I did it last year when there was really something to really fight for because it was really about Colin Kaepernick and, you know, Trump and all this other stuff that was going on.
All of the people getting murdered at the hands of police officers, which is the reason why we was protesting in the first place. And then for you to not even acknowledge the protest means that you support. Come on, man.
The oppressive, racist language that they were using.
Yep.
The language that Jerry Jones
used. Them cold words, especially that boy Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
And did you remember last year when he kneeled?
Yep.
The way he was kneeling? It felt
he's
so arrogant.
Shit.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, these are all my Negroes out here. Like,
right. They did that in what's that movie? With Nate Parker.
Oh, Birth of a Nation.
Yeah, Birth of a Nation. Where he was all supportive of his Negro at one point, but as soon as the white person came and he wanted to sleep with the black woman and he wanted his woman, you know, he turned against him and sided with the white master. Mm-hmm. So with his white friends and turned against Nate. But he had no problem taking Nate around, having him preach and doing all this stuff. You're my good little Negro. But as soon as it was time to turn against him, and he made that choice. And that's what they do. My issue is just, you know, they're not listening. And I feel two ways on this. One, we need to stop all the protesting and the kneeling because I think you're losing the reasons why you're doing it. And get to action. And that's kind of where I'm at now. But I think we still have to take action, or some form of action has to be taken against the owners themselves for treating the players, white and black, as property.
I think this upcoming CBA negotiations is going to be monumental for the future of the football. It could either be like the resurgence it needs to keep going, or it could be the death of football as you know it. Because as much as outside of just the racial tension in America, just the NFL itself, player safety, concussions, them not getting paid them as much as they need to get paid, and seeing all these television deals get done.
Remember, I said this a couple podcasts ago. I think the NFL shelf life is 5 to maybe 10 years pushing it. Because if you look at all of the other sports, right, even baseball, their ratings are up. I don't think in terms
soccer.
Of TV.
Soccer is starting to be popular in the U.S. Yeah. In the States.
Soccer's
that's
popping
crazy.
In Cincinnati, and I never
that's
thought
crazy.
I would say that.
Me neither. Me growing up, I never thought soccer would be where it's at now.
Soccer's taking TV away from the NFL. NBA is exponentially growing. Remember
more black players are in the Major League Baseball now. We're talking about real black players with black names.
And again, like parents, you know, I'm starting to see more like parents putting their kids in soccer more than in football. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like,
oh, my boy plays soccer.
That's the real football.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Universal football. Yeah. So and remember what I've even said with the NBA. It's going to be so much talent that they're going to have to expand the league. I think the NFL is going to lose their footing. And once even more because sponsors have already backed out. Once more sponsors back out, once TV ratings decline, mm-hmm. once ticket sales go, it's going to be very interesting on how the NFL rebrands itself. And I think, I don't know if it was last podcast or the one before, I asked y'all, like, the only way I think the NFL can fix itself is by getting a black commissioner that's pro-brother. Like mm-hmm. Ozzie Newsome. Like, if you could go get Ozzie Newsome as the commissioner, I think that's the only way that you fix the NFL, because I think that the NFL needs to be more supportive of the issues, because 90% of your workforce, even though they may have the fame and the money and all of the accolades that go with being a prestigious NFL player, they still get treated like Negroes on the street.
And that's what I don't understand. Like, they're real. You said it. These are real issues, and they're tone deaf. They're legit tone deaf about what's going on. And that hurts and offends me as a black person, because it's like they're not making shit up. Like, you can see it. Yeah. But it also shows what they think. They're outside of that world. That world don't apply to them. This is a business to them, and that's it.
Because didn't Michael Bennett and his brother both get, you know, like, ran down by cops? Remember, it was a couple years ago. I think mm-hmm. it was after Super Bowl win. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. And that's why I say they need a black commissioner that can address these real issues to all of these other owners.
But this was a dead issue. Number one, and the fact that nobody wants to admit that Colin Kaepernick is being blackballed, I think when Eric Reid wasn't part of that, you can easily say that, right? But now that you throw Eric Reid, who protests, and now he can't get a job, and that boy can still play. He's, what, 25, 26? And now he can't get a job. That's more evidence that he is being blackballed. So that's another problem that I have. But this whole issue, last thing, was that it was dead. They brought it back up with this stupid policy.
Yeah, the policy was fine.
They were done protesting for the most part.
The NFL doesn't understand the impact that they have. You know, and it's sad because, like you said, it kind of swept that thing under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And really, people just want the next NFL season. We want the storylines. We want to see Andrew Luck. We want to see Aaron Rodgers was hurt. You know,
we don't want to talk about this
every
day.
We don't want to talk about it every day. We want to talk about the game.
Yeah.
The reason why people tune in. But you made it about that again. And then you're opening up a whole can of worms that didn't need to be opened.
I think you hit something. I think the NFL didn't realize that politics would get into sports like it is in today's day and age. I think everybody always thought that sports, and you go to sports to get out of reality. Like, you know, mm-hmm. It's entertainment. It's supposed to take you away from your world. But now with what the NBA is doing, like how you say how social media, Major League Baseball, soccer, and everything is becoming more mm-hmm. like, even though it's global, it's becoming more a smaller world because everybody can see anybody, mm-hmm. anybody can interact with anybody.
Real time.
It's now to the point where we're expecting our athletes and the black leaders, because we look at our entertainers as leaders of mm-hmm. our specific areas, to speak up when there's injustice going mm-hmm. on. Like, that's just the thing now. No matter what sport you play, you have to speak up on something, or they'll ask you a question.
Let me ask y'all, how do you feel about John Elway coming out saying that they offered Colin Kaepernick a contract?
He got on my list because he was very misleading. That was before college.
You don't think they offered?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Because that was 2016,
was
right?
That was before he even started kneeling, bro. Yeah.
Damn.
It was and a little.
He came out and said that?
Yeah,
like
he okie dokie did. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, because he didn't start kneeling until, like, Blaine Gabbert, that year that Blaine Gabbert was starting.
Very misleading. Yeah. Yep. I got on my list. Pissed me off.
Well, John Elway is a bad GM anyway. Like,
I won't go that far, but
I think John Elway's a bad.
What
GM.
He just said, why? What he said was messed up.
Because if you look at his history of drafting, there are no Pro Bowlers. On
he
his,
won a Super Bowl, man.
He won a Super Bowl by getting a free agent. He didn't win a Super Bowl by drafting.
That's a GM.
Outside decision. I'm talking about he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cannot find a quarterback to save his life.
But I think that's the Achilles heel to most GMs. You know, I was listening to Colin Cowherd the other day. And he made an interesting point. I started thinking, I'm like, damn, he's right. There's about half the league right now are potential, if not guaranteed, Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Half the league right now. Half the league. right? Like he said, Carson Wentz, you know, we saw a little sample size, but what we
see, he had an MVP season,
right? If he could continue that, he's great. Deshaun Watson, what we saw
he
of was him,
he could have broke all the rookie records.
He could have, right? Like if they continue on that trajectory, they can be Hall of Fame, right? We know the guarantees.
Russell Wilson,
Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, right? Then we got the fringe guys, right? Like Matt Ryan, you know, so he got an MVP. Maybe he doesn't get a Super Bowl, but it is what it is.
Would you put Cam on that list?
Cam, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He has enough numbers. So if you
Joe,
hell.
But we can go down the list through half of the NFL and have franchise almost Hall of Fame quarterbacks. The other half is like, yo, what the hell? So if you look at that, what does that say? That's the hardest position to draft. And it's not like John Elway hasn't tried to address that position. It's just sometimes you might be in the wrong draft. You might have the top three pick. You're in the wrong draft. Ain't no quarterbacks in this draft. Right? So sometimes it is the luck of the draw. Like, who thought Dak was going to be that good? You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, some of the players you mentioned are like fourth rounders, third rounders.
Outside of obviously Tom Brady, seventh round.
Didn't he hit with Von Miller?
That's defense.
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking about players.
So
quarterback is the hardest one. That's not fair to just judge a GM on just quarterback. Because the GM's job is to manage the entire roster.
There are a lot of misses. In the NFL,
he couldn't find an Andy Dalton else. To just something to hold it down.
Even Andy Dalton's tough. Look, I put it to you like this: people like Paxton Lynch and Dak Prescott was drafted in the same draft, and everybody was trying to move up to get Paxton Lynch. Nobody was talking about Dak Prescott, right? He didn't move up; he just took the best player available at the time on their draft board. Yeah, look, quarterback is extremely difficult to draft. It is. There's no science.
I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying throughout his tenure there, he can't give you one competent quarterback.
But how many franchises have gone on for decades and not get a quarterback?
Call him a bad GM because
of
that.
I'm not saying just that. Like I don't have the stats in front of me, but if you look at his drafting record, he does, like some of the players he doesn't have aren't on his team anymore.
But how successful has he been since running the franchise?
But without a quarterback, that was they only, make the playoffs.
If you take those, how many years is Peyton Manning?
Three.
You take those years out. Look at what he is.
But that matters though.
It matters because he took them to two Super Bowls and won one.
But that's
the one that they won was not because of the quarterback.
But that still was a but they won off the defensive decision and personnel that they had. The decisions that John Elway had to sign off on to get the defensive players that helped win.
Most of those defenses outside of Von Miller, most of the rest of those defensive players were free agents. He can sign. He's a hell of a businessman as far as like bringing in talent.
But isn't that part of being a GM? How many titles does Danny Ainge have?
None.
No, he got one
as a GM.
He got one with KG.
The KG, the big three.
And people look at him as a great GM.
Because his draft picks have hit. Jason Tatum.
Slow down.
No, I'm saying before this year, yes, you were right. But he hit phenomenally out the park with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
And you just said
Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm. But like we just named four off this roster
right now. Name me outside of Von Miller. Name me three other players that he drafted.
Chubb
just got there. We don't know what he's going to be.
Look, in the NFL, it don't take much for somebody to jump
off
the screen.
But Danny Ainge just hit with Jason Tatum.
He hit with other players before Jason Tatum.
Who?
He had Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
He had Marcus Smart. He had Terry Rozier.
But look,
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Yeah, role player. But Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are
the two
all-stars.
Hits. They're the hits in the last two years.
Marcus Smart. Anybody can draft a solid rotational player.
Look at all the misses Danny Ainge had.
Yep.
Danny Ainge had a lot. And he had all the draft picks. He couldn't get a buy.
To be honest, he traded some. Because then he drafted Joe Johnson. Then he drafted
Johnson, like the guard, Joe Johnson?
Yeah. I thought he got drafted. He got somebody.
But the point is that how can Danny Ainge be a good GM with one title and, two appearances, right, with that Boston?
Yeah.
And John Elway isn't with one title and two appearances. I don't understand.
And they both drafted a collection of talent.
Because I'm just saying, based off like
the quarterback position,
based off the future, like he's never put Denver in a position to be like, all right, the future's cool.
But you know what, though?
You just know that when he got Peyton.
But I think, with the defensive players.
Yes, and I think John Elway plays the right now game. Every version of this Denver Broncos team since he's been there has been about right now. Like, forget the future. Like, we can draft a couple guys or whatever.
How far you think they're going to go with Case Keenum?
You can't.
He's serviceable. They won games with Trevor Siemian.
They won games with Tim Tebow. So I think they'll be fine. I think they could make the playoffs again, be out in either the what's the game to play, the wild card or the first round?
Divisional, yeah. Wild card and divisional.
Yeah, I think it's too early to judge the brother, but he still messed up for what he said though.
Yeah, so. He was. I didn't know that. Thank you for context, Ken. So.